Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice. Through our eyes, the universe is perceiving itself. Through our ears, the universe is listening to its harmonies. We are the witness through which the universe becomes conscious of its glory, of its magnificence. Alan Watts. Today, practice being the eyes and ears of the universe, witnessing its our glory. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Sounds like they're trying.
Hello, this is Jamie in Delaware.
Hello, Jamie.
I haven't been in the queue for probably at least 2 weeks or more, and I got selected first. That's interesting, but it's good. The last few couple months have been a little hectic in my life because my wife broke several metatarsal bones in her foot, and so I had to help her more than normal. And then we moved, but we're in our new house, and I've made a commitment to try to get my practice more regular. And so I've meditated the last few days, and I've been doing recording and listening. So
good for you. All right. Back on board.
Yes, and that's a good thing. And I don't think there's any substitute for the day-to-day practice of meditation, recording and listening. And
I could not agree with you more.
And it's
we just watch what happens to us. You're in a situation. I'm sure your wife, you know, breaking her foot during a move was not a high point for her, and that puts you in a position of needing to do more. And it's true, there are just some times when life circumstances get in the way of our doing the things that take care of us. And that's just how it is. And then when those circumstances change, we're right back to it because we know what makes our lives work.
Yes. And the ego, I suspect the ego may have taken advantage of those situations to talk.
I think we can count on that, Jamie. I think we can just know that's so. It was
exactly.
Hopeful. Ego was hopeful that you'd never come back to practice, right?
Right. And I didn't totally let practice go. I would meditate some and do some things, but it wasn't a consistent pattern. It was more stable,
well, it wasn't everything you wanted it to be,
right?
That's the important piece of it. It wasn't everything you wanted it to be. And for us to acknowledge that and underline that is the really important part of it. I can't always practice the way I would like or as much as I would like. That's just true. And that doesn't mean anything other than, as soon as I have the opportunity, I'm going to do as much of it as I like.
And I try to ask myself, is there any reason I can't meditate today, tomorrow, the next? Now, there may be a reason, but often there isn't, even though
that's
ego wants to.
Right. That's right. And Jamie, I would say that at this point in your practice, you're really ready for every moment meditation, right? Rather than it only counts if I'm sitting on a cushion or I'm sitting in my meditation spot, you know, you're paying attention all day long.
Right. Yeah, I do. And sometimes I will follow my breath a little bit or count 1 to 10 repetitively during the day just to get more out of my head so much.
That's right. So. Get more here. Yeah. Yeah, and just to acknowledge that your practice is such that it occurs to you to do that, which means your practice is really supporting you in busy times.
Right, and I can, despite what the ego says, and it
oh yeah,
I can still sit.
That's right. That's right. You can still breathe. You can still count.
So I guess I'm just emphasizing some of the basics for me, and maybe it helps somebody else somewhere.
That's right. Well, and Jamie, to me, the main thing that this conversation helps us all with is don't listen to ego about anything, and especially about our practice.
It's
got nothing good to say.
Right, and 99 out of 100 times, I can practice, or a lot of times I can practice despite what the ego might say.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're choosing you as the person you're in conversation with, rather than being in conversation with ego. And that is a critical shift for us.
And calling in helps me feel a part of the greater whole, and that helps too.
Yeah, it does. So it's good to hear from you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Jamie.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks, Jamie. So, Sherry, that conversation reminds me of what we sometimes talk about, that we practice in the good times so that our practice can be available in the times that are not, that we can't practice that much, right? It's like the bank, you know, you make withdrawals when you're barely surviving, and then you make sure that you regenerate your bank account once that time
is
over.
That's right, yeah. And that's true with everything, isn't it? Once we get out of that conversation, because the heart wants to be present, wants to take good care of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's only the ego that is in opposition.
Yes, and not to, you know, not to recognize that when we're most vulnerable and when we care most about practice and recognize its importance, it's likely that we get tortured by not practicing when it's not possible to do all the practices that that usually support us, right?
Yes. Yes. Well, and as you say that, in Jamie's specific case, you know, he's taking on extra chores, and he's assisting his wife who you know, in pain and not able to use her foot, and but that doesn't count for ego.
Yeah.
You know, it's only, but you need to do this like that. And if you're not doing that like that, then you're a failure.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Yeah, and it's one of the final stands, right? It's not about that all of our practices assist us to be present. And there are times when we learn to be present without our practices.
Absolutely so. Which, again, we can see in ourselves, because I bet all of us would know, could recall a time in our lives when somebody we love is in difficulties. And the voice in the head is, why do you have to do this and you have to do that, and it's all a team, you know, that kind of, rather than our practice sustains us so that we can say, oh, this is a misery, but, you know, it really is worse for that person than it is for me. And we want to serve with kindness and as graciously as we can. We want to.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Vanessa.
Hey, Vanessa. What are you seeing?
Hey. Let's see. Well, a lot. So my practice, what I was practicing except months was having a sea house. And,
having a what, Vanessa? I'm having a little trouble understanding you. Are you on speaker or anything like that?
Yes. Let's see. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Well, let's see. So your practice has been?
Accepting having a sea house. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you Ashwini, do you know accepting?
No, I couldn't hear either. You're strobing for us, Vanessa.
I don't think. No, my internet isn't very good, so I don't know whether this will work. But I'm right next to the computer and the modem, so it's as close as I can.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounded good. Yeah. So your practice has been, it was something about how.
It was accepting having a mess house.
Okay, we still missed the most critical word. Could it be a messy house?
Sounds like
exactly. You live inside of it, and so I just felt like, you know, at first a story like, well, this is a ridiculous thing, you know, there should be something else, but it's been the most amazing practice because I just saw that this or whatever ego had set up adversarial relationship with my home, that everywhere I looked, it was that mess is like about me.
Something
I
wrong.
Was failing,
yeah.
Or somebody else wasn't, and da di da di da. And just how it was, and when I would clean or put something away, what about this? And
that's
what
like,
about that didn't count?
Yeah.
And so it
yeah.
was just so amazing because it blossomed into seeing that that's what ego conditioning does with everything, with every moment. It's always pointing at that moment doesn't matter. Well, what about
that's,
this now? What about
that
other one?
Well, that moment doesn't matter. And by the way, nothing is going to change the fact that you're the wrong person.
Right.
Right? Because
right.
even if
right.
you somehow manage to get your house up to ego standards, which just when we talk about it, is just so ludicrous, isn't it? That your house needs to meet standards of a disembodied voice inside your head. But regardless, if it did, it would just move to the next thing.
Right.
Which is what makes something like focusing on the house and the condition of the house so perfect. We always say, you know, don't take on the biggest issue of your entire life when we look at process, because it shows up with everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're so, never going to be enough, Vanessa. You're just never.
I know.
You're never going to get it right. I'm sorry. That's
right.
It's just how it is.
Right. Exactly. That's what ego says.
Mm-hmm.
But what I saw was how much I love my house, and my house actually loves me, and how each little mess or whatever you want to call it is actually a way to express that. And so just a way of taking care of it. It's a way of taking care of me. And this is where I'm like, wow. But each is actually it's an opportunity, right? To be in love. So, oh, wow. You know, oh, the dirty socks. I tuck those away and put them in the laundry where they need to go and tidy up this square. You know, and if I can, I don't even know if I can get there, but if I'm I don't want to say like it's not an effort. Like the paying attention, then that can be there.
That's right. Because what you're doing is turning ego's hatefulness into an expression of your love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're your socks. They're your kid's socks. They're your husband's socks. They're somebody's socks. They belong to somebody you love. Thank God they have those socks. I love those socks.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, Vanessa, the thing that I dropped in as you were talking about this is, and I wish this for all of us, okay? So when I was saying you're never going to meet the standard, you're never going to be the right person. So quit trying. You know, if we mm-hmm. would just say, you're right. I'm never going to meet your standards. I divorce you.
Right.
I quit. I'm leaving this
yeah.
relationship. I don't care what you think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be heaven? Why keep trying?
Yes. Yeah.
You've Why? Already been given the information. It's never going to work. You've been trying your whole life, and it's never worked.
Yeah.
You got a lot of decades
yeah.
left to just enjoy love.
Right. It's never going to work, and how ever be clean? I mean, that's the other sort of bamboozle around the whole thing. It also says that one day, if I was the right person, it would actually just be. And that,
yeah,
because I would
yeah.
be right and the house would be. And that's just not true. Like, it's never
no.
going to be. It's like, it's alive.
It's never.
You know, everything needs maintenance and care and
yeah.
love.
Yeah.
yeah. So,
yeah. and we use
so, yeah.
this stuff. It's called living, right? So
exactly.
we cook food and we eat food and dishes get dirty. That's just how, it's not a mistake.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just, you know, it just I'm getting bigger and bigger. Like, of course ego is like death and stasis. And so that's why, like, there's supposedly
yes.
the idea of like,
yes.
it's going to get there and be there. It's like, no, that's when the house is like no longer, I guess. I don't know. It wouldn't be.
That's right.
Anyway.
That's right.
It,
even if you folks moved out, right, and you had professional cleaners come in and clean every
right.
inch of a vacant house, it would start to get dirty as they moved from place to place in that house. Right? That's just
exactly.
how it is. Yeah.
Right.
Isn't that wonderful
yeah.
to see? Yeah.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm very happy for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been it's really been a lot of really been a lot of
okay.
fun with it. So thank you.
Somebody else wants you. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Vanessa. You know, Shari, the thing that drops in for me is this, is the exposure to the notion that there is something like a clean house. And it's the way ego does it, right? There is enlightenment.
Yeah.
There's a clean house. there's an ideal that is static and it doesn't
yes.
exist, right? The house
right.
is never going to be a clean house. It's a house that will be in the process of getting cleaned if we want to even state it that way. You know,
yes.
it's just
yes.
a never-ending
yes.
process, which is what life
yes.
is, a living. Not, you know, when there's a period at the end of the sentence, then we're dead.
That's right. Which is, you know, as people catch on to it, they realize that's what ego's actually going for.
Yeah.
Just torturing us to death. Because,
mm-hmm.
again, as we say as Buddhists, you know, that system is not going to die with us.
Yeah.
The content will change, but that system just is going to move to another host.
Yeah.
So, Yeah.
So enjoy. Might as well enjoy the moment rather than be focused on achieving something that is impossible to achieve. Right.
That's right. For an imaginary voice in the head.
Yeah,
that's
too.
The truly startling part.
Yeah.
You know, it's bad enough if it's your partner or your parent or your domineering kid, but you know, when it's a voice in your head that's imaginary, good Lord.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Michael in California.
Hey, Michael. What are
hey,
you Jeff. Seeing?
Hey, Ashwin. I was just seeing, yeah, what you were just talking about at the end there, that I'm trying to please that imaginary voice in the head. And I was thinking about the, you know, the assignment and about listening to the seeing the glories of the universe and listening to the harmonies of the, and I
yeah.
thought that's, you know, you know, that quote is not referring to me giving my attention to that. I need to turn away from that in order to see the real glory of the universe, which is life.
Yes. Yes. Because although in theory we might be able to attend to those simultaneously, it doesn't seem to be anybody's experience. Right? You get one or the other. You get the glories or you get the nagging, the misery. Right?
Yes, yes. I get the glory or I get the misery. Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Moment by moment.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm doing the email class also, and with your guidance, I had a big awareness there, and it kind of cleared out the attention, you know, so it could come back here and not be enthralled to that voice of something wrong. And it just reminds me of actually something you said, I think it was in the morning show a couple months ago, about nothing going on, and that, quote, nothing going on is kind of what we're going for. And that's been my, when I'm not listening to that crapola, there is nothing going on, and it's really lovely to have nothing going on.
Yes, because nothing going on, ego's version of nothing going on, as you're pointing at, is our opportunity to just be. To be with life as life is, not gone in some imaginary drama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can really feel the air and see the sun and the leaves on the trees and your kids and
Yeah. That's exactly what it feels like. When that's not there, then I'm here for my life. And I can attend to, I mean, it sounds so obvious, but, you know, I can attend to this here, this moment, what's going on, possibilities open up. I'm not trying to negotiate, fix, change, get rid of. It's a totally different experience.
And you can really enjoy it, right? That's the piece when we're not, so it's Vanessa enjoying her house as it is.
Yes.
Treasuring everything as it is. Yeah. Oh, smiling.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm still kind of like in shock of like, wow, how did I get so, you know, is it really true that information, that conditioned information was wrong? And so there's, I guess there's like an adjustment to, wow.
Yes. Although, and, Michael, you know what I'm going
to
say
the,
is, indulge
that. Go ahead.
Well, don't indulge it, right? When it says, but was that? Yeah, don't fall for that.
I see. Yeah. Just enjoy here now.
That's right. I don't know. Yeah. Wow, look at that. Look at those leaves. Look with that breeze. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'll remember that. Yeah.
Or even, you know, there you are at work, right? And the voices want to come in and say, well, but the way, you know, the way I always approach work was, and was that a, you know, was it, although it's going to say you, right? The way you always, mm-hmm. you know, what were, and what's this? And you just go, yeah, I don't know. But, gosh, I'm glad to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it'll try to suck us back in.
That's for sure. Yes. Thank you, Sharon. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Michael. Sherry, we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay, that's not happening. Here, next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Sharon calling.
Hello, Sharon.
Barbados.
What you seeing?
Wow, the glory of the universe. I mean, today is the first sunny day. We've had rain and rain and rain. I'm walking outside and I look up and the the sky, the clouds are really high, and you just feel like you're walking in a big dome, and it's just absolutely beautiful.
Glorious.
Glorious is right, yeah. And I was hearing something on the radio the other day where a child, it was a child science thing about child asked, what is the biggest thing in the universe? And, of course, there's the sun, and then they started to explain the galaxies and the galaxies upon galaxies and universe upon universe. And I can remember as a child we would be at the cottage and sit out and look up at the sky, and we'd invariably begin to talk about the stars and the universe. And I can remember getting so scared. I haven't felt that way in a long time, but I guess it was just being scared about the infinitesimal smallness of myself. And I don't know. I mean,
oh, my gosh, Sharon, you were already identified with ego.
But, you know, did you ever feel that? I mean, doesn't everybody have that time as a child when you look up, or a teenager, and you look up and you talk to your friends about the universe, and just it stirs a lot of, maybe it's a lot of fear about the whole immensity of the thing.
No, I never did. No. In fact, for me, I mean, I don't remember any of that from being a child. I lived in a place where we didn't have lights at night, so the stars and the moon and all of that were very, you know, much a part of my life all the time. And so for me, the what happens with that is really, really, I'm going to miss this. For a conversation, back to Vanessa, a conversation about how clean my house is. You know, that's where, as a Buddhist, I'm fond of saying, you know, we're going to be dead soon and dead for a really long time. So if we're going to enjoy anything, we better start right now.
Well, you can enjoy it. It's just looking at, like, you know, in the practice, it kind of looks like, because I'm animated by life, that I'm kind of special and important. But when you look out and see how much
well, you
possible...
are, Sharon, you are, as is everything. The whole point is you're not separate from any of it. You are what those stars are. You are what that moon is. Those clouds, that sky. All of that, that's what you are. That's what we're relaxing into. And ego really doesn't want to do that. Ego wants to be that separate, different me that's going to, be dead soon.
Or be such a speck or minor speck of a speck that they're not important. I mean, I guess that's what ego would say. You know,
of course. And if we consider all of the people who lived previously and are now dead, we can say, yeah, as egos, that is absolutely the case. And who do we know about? Not people who were lost in a voice in their head about whether I'm important or not.
Yeah.
I'm
doing my family tree, and so I've been tracing down ancestors, and it's so amazing how, you know, I found my grandmother and the ship she came to the United States on, and she was like 18, and like 10 years later she was died of the pandemic at that time, and I went to bed so sad thinking she was young and she had all these hopes. You know, and I felt
Sharon, the other possibility is to look at her courage.
Yeah.
How adventuresome her life was. Hope that she enjoyed it. She obviously married and had children.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you. Yeah. So only ego wants to focus on that negativity. because that's why you give attention to it, and that's what makes you suffer. Don't do it.
Well, the thing is, I really feel a lot of love for her by tracing her down and seeing her boat she came on and everything. I feel
then
a lot closer to
love.
Her. Yeah.
Stay with the love. Mm-hmm. Why let that get taken over by ego's negativity?
It's always there, having to spoil
always,
the party.
That's exactly right. So don't let it, okay?
Okay, all right. Well, thank you,
right.
Sherry. And
thanks,
good
Sherry.
To talk
you
with
walk
you.
Walk out there again. Look at that sky and realize that's what you are and really enjoy it.
Okay, thank you. Thanks so
all
much.
All right.
Thanks,
Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Sharon. Sherry, it's my experience that if you stay with the fear, it drops away. The fear is meant for you to redirect your attention from the immensity of it all. But if you just stick with it, you have a different experience.
You mean stick with the immensity, not with the fear.
Right. Just stay there for it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let it speak to you.
Just breathe through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That brings us to the end of the show and our assignment for today. Do your daily practice. I think the most important question facing humanity is the universe a friendly place? This is the first and most basic question all people must answer for themselves, Albert Einstein. Today, pay special attention to how you're guided and supported by a friendly life. There it is, Sherry. There's our redirect of attention.
There it is. Good old Albert.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you,
Go
everybody.
Happy.
Go happy.